Thank you for listening. For other great sermons, please visit us online at www.berkshirehillsbaptist.com.
Hebrews chapter 12. This chapter here was written, remember, to the Hebrews, and it was written to Hebrew believers. It was written to those who had, it was Jewish believers. Those that had lived their life before Christ, they had done the works, they had done the sacrifices, they had done all the celebrations, and with hopes of going to heaven, and Jesus Christ came along. Changed all the works, changed all the sacrifices. Instead, what did he became the final sacrifice.
Amen.
And because of him, when we come to him and we believe he died for our sins, and then he was buried and rose again the third day, we believe that.
Amen.
He says our sins are forgiven. We become white as snow. And we're going to go to heaven.
Amen.
And so, this was written to believers who had believed that. But at the same time, they were tempted now, when times got tough, now they were tempted to go back to the old way. And that happens sometimes. If you have an old way that worked in the old way, and you suddenly find a new way, and it's great for a while everything's going. But then when things start to get tough, you think, well, I never had quite this many problems in the old way. Maybe I ought to go back to the old way. You had that many problems. You just don't remember them. You know, it's like the Egyptians. They had gathered the Jews and they put them under slavery for 400 years. And finally the Jews were able to leave the land when Moses let them out. They were slaves. They had to work from sunup to sundown. They were beaten. They were, you know, treated terribly. Slaves. They were led out into the desert. And the first hardship they had trying to follow God, they said, we'd rather be back in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, dude, don't you remember what it was like back in Egypt? And that's what Paul, I'm assuming Paul wrote Hebrews. We're not really sure. When he wrote them, he was telling them, trying to convince them that they don't want to go back to Judaism. They don't want to go back to the works. They want to continue with Jesus Christ. They needed to remember the power of God. They needed to remember the purpose of the grace of God working their lives. And so they were in danger. It tells us here in verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, and let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you now, and we ask you, Lord, that throughout this time together, that, Lord, our minds and our hearts will be cleared of all distractions, that you would just let us hear your word this morning, so that, Lord, it will help us, it will guide us, it will change our lives. Help me, Lord. Let me be filled with the Spirit so every word I speak is your word. Every thought I have is your thought, as it's spoken to the people here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we need to remember the grace of God. It tells us in verse 15, if we're not careful, we can fail of the grace of God. Now, that doesn't mean God's grace will fail us, that means we fail to take it upon us. You know, if you're offered help and you refuse that help, that means you fail to take advantage of that help. And that's what it means by failing the grace of God. And we can do that. In order not to do it, we need to remember some things about grace and remember some things about our lives. First of all, we need to remember to follow the right paths. It tells us here that verse 12, therefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. We need to remember that we need strength to follow God. Now, the first 11 verses we already read, it talked about how they failed God and He chastised them. But they need to look at the joy that comes after the chastisement. But what really happens to us? We're all human beings, and I can pretty much guess that we're all the same way. We follow God, we do the right things, everything is just hunky-dory. And all of a sudden, something happens in our life. It may be, you know, maybe a sin on purpose or a sin that just happens. But something happens in our lives that takes us out of the fellowship of God. And so God chastens us. God gives us the guilt or whatever it is He works in your life to let you know, you just failed me. And so we realize, oh God, I failed you. I'm so sorry. And we repent. He forgives us. And what do? We're still sorry. So we're walking around, oh, I failed God. I did this wrong. That's the weak hanging down. We're still sorry. And what's He say? No. God forgave you. Get over it. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. That's what He's telling us. We need the strength to get back on the right path. He says, that's why He says, lift up the hands that hang down the feeble knees. That's the problem with most believers. They do something wrong. They ask forgiveness, God gives them forgiveness, and they're still acting like they're doing something wrong. And what good does that do to all those around us? They see us sulking, and they say, what's wrong?
Oh, I failed God.
Well, okay. Did He forgive you? You know, if they know anything about the Bible, they say, would He forgive me? Yeah. Why are you acting that way? We're children of God. And Jesus, just like He said, the joy that looked before Him, He looked for the joy that came after the cross, after the punishment. And so we should look forward to, if we're chastened, that's a good thing because chastening proves you're a child of God. Chastening proves that God loves you.
Amen.
You know the old thing we used to tell our kids, you know, when they needed a spanking, if you ever spanked your kids, this hurts me more than it hurts you. Or as a little boy said, but Dad, it doesn't hurt you in the same place. But it hurts God, and it hurts us. But after it's over, we need to act like it never happened. Why? Because to God, it never happened. He's forgiven it.
Amen.
But they had no faith.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why He's trying to get them back. Because what they're doing is they're thinking, well, wait a minute, I did this against God, I asked His forgiveness, but maybe I need to do some of the works to have it forgiven. Maybe I need to do a sacrifice. Maybe I need to do some sort of penance. You know, that was going back to the Judaism type of thing. And God's saying, no, when you repent, when you ask forgiveness, I give it, it's over with.
Amen.
Now act like it's over with. Lift up those... Stand straight. You're a child of God.
Amen.
Woo! Get a little excited. God's grace will give us the strength that we need. Why? He says to us in 3 John, verse 11, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil has not seen God. So He just wants us to get strong and start doing good again. Don't let that... Satan's the one that keeps guilting you. And he holds you back. Because he doesn't want you to do good for God. Notice in verse 14, he tells us what else we need to do to follow the right path. Besides getting strength to do the right thing, he tells us in verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness. God's grace will give us the holiness to continue to follow God. Even when things don't look good, God's grace will give us the right thing. God says, be holy, for I'm holy. Now, that doesn't mean be thou holier than thou of all those around you. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes a holier than thou person.
Right.
Okay? And if you go up to somebody and you're acting like, oh, I'm God's child, and you're just nothing because you don't know, that's not right. God still loves his creation. God still loves each and every person that's ever lived and is ever living. And he loves everyone who's an unbeliever just as much as he loves the believers. Sometimes as believers, we forget that. God loves them. But he expects us to be holy. Now, the things of the temple, they were holy. Why? Because they were set apart for God's use. They were expected to be left clean and pure and separated. And that's what God wants us to do. To be holy, to follow holiness, allows us to stay on the right path. It allows us to be pure. Allows us to be set apart for his use. To be separated. And what happens, when one of those items got dirty, there was a process of cleansing it. If the table showbread or something, or even their garments, they got dirty, they didn't throw them away. They cleansed them through a process and returned them to service. And that's what God does to us. If we fail with the grace of God, if we fail God, he wants us to come to him to get cleansed and then get returned to his service. Woo! And that way, we can be holy because we're set apart for God's use. Who is set apart for God's use? Who is supposed to be holy? Everyone who's a believer. Everyone who's a believer. Everyone. And he also tells us that we're to follow peace. God's grace will allow us to follow peace, to live with others. Romans 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand. Romans 14, 19 says, let us therefore follow after things which make for peace and things wherein one may edify one another. We should be at peace one with another. That's a hard thing to do sometimes. It's like two nations. One nation may say, I want to be at peace with them. But if they don't want to be at peace with them, they're going to have a war. And sometimes it's going to be a problem being at peace. But whose job is it to try to be at peace? Everybody's. Even if they don't try, you should try. And why? It says, so we edify one another. That means to build up. And I'm not talking about I'm talking about a peace that flows from Almighty God. The peace, not just the peace with God we get at salvation, but the peace of God that flows through us. So we can build each other up, edify one another. I've had some people get upset at me over the years. I'm sure you have too. Unless you're perfect. Anybody here perfect? I'm just curious, sorry. People get upset at us. And sometimes they pretend to be at peace, but they're not really at peace. That's not the kind of peace God's talking about. He's talking about the peace that flows from Almighty God that allows us to build one another up, to help one another, to be able to stand in the same room one with another. That's what God says. Follow peace with all. He does say, and that starts with believers and includes unbelievers. Wow. Can you imagine our world today if every believer, just the believers, tried to follow peace with everybody else? That's where God wants us to be. That means no fighting, no wars, no argument, no I'm better than you. In fact, he teaches us one way to follow peace, is to think that they're better than I am and to try to meet others' needs. I didn't make this up. That's what God says. And if you have a problem with it, and a lot of people do, then you need to argue with God, because that's where He wants us to be. He wants us to follow the right path, and in doing so, He'll give us the strength to do so, so we can lift up our hands. He'll give us the holiness to do the right thing. He'll give us the peace. But it's not something that can just happen overnight. Verse 15 says, looking diligently. Following the right path to remember God's grace requires diligence. Alright? Diligence. That means you got to keep at it. That's kind of a hard thing to do, isn't it? You get tired. And that's okay. Because we're humans and we get tired. That's why we need God's grace. It's God's grace that will allow us to keep on when we feel too tired to do it. God's grace will allow us to keep on if we feel too weak to be doing what we know He wants us to do. It requires so we won't stray off the path. And God's grace, you know, it helps us so we can look for those bumps in the road. Diligence. You know, my daughter lives up in Vermont. And the first few times I visited her, man, I had to make sure that I followed the map. I looked at every sign. I read it because I wanted to make sure I followed this path. But you know, after doing this several times, I noticed the last time we went up there, not too long ago, I don't even look at the signs anymore. I just know, because I've done it enough now, that a little bit up here, I got to make a turn. A little bit farther, it's going to be a stop. A little bit farther, I'm going through this town. And I don't even read the signs anymore. They put a detour in, I'm going to be in trouble. But that's what it means to follow diligently God's path. We watch for the signs along the way. We watch for the potholes. We watch for all of those things. But if you keep doing it over and over and over, pretty soon you'll just be able to do it automatically following God's path. You'll know what to do right. You don't have to, you can be diligent, but you don't have to concentrate as much. Because you'll know it. That's why His Word says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed. We study His Word to make sure this is the roadmap for life. And the more we study it and we get it into our life, pretty soon we don't have to go back to it as much. But study other things, but some of the common things, because we know. Somebody said the other day, we should have so much scripture in it that if we cut, we bleed the Word of God. Why? Because that will give us the diligence to do His path. It takes time. I had to travel the path to Rachel's house numerous times until I got used to it. And now I don't even have to look at the signs. I know how to get there. I know the right path. And we hit the same with the Word of God and follow it. It takes time, but if you keep doing the right thing over and over and over, if you're diligent following God, you'll be able to do it. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. But notice what happens. We're to look diligent, because lest any fail of the grace of God. Along this path, we need to allow ourselves to let the grace of God work in our lives. What is the grace of God? That's the goodness of God. That's the direction of God. That's allowing Him to be in your life in such a way that He takes care of it. He guides you. He directs you. He stops you from going the wrong way. He helps you along. He lifts you up. He lets you feel that joy, even over the pain. I mean, the Apostle Paul, he's a fine example of that. Remember? He went to the Lord three times. He said, Lord, I have a physical problem. Heal it. Now, if anybody was a man of faith, that'd be the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the guy as Saul. He went around killing Christians. Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, turned his life around literally. But through this, he had a problem. A lot of people think it was with his eyes, where he couldn't see very well anymore. But regardless of what it is, this problem bothered him, and this problem made him think that it was slowing him down and serving God. All right? And he went to God three times and said, God, heal it. God, heal it. God, heal it. And God said, no. What? Wait a minute. Didn't the Bible say if whatever we want, we ask, and God will give it to us? Well, we have to ask believing. Because sometimes God's answer is no. God told him, he says, what you want is healing, because you think that healing will make you a better servant. He says, but because what you really want is to be a better servant, I'm going to give you something better than healing. I'm going to give you my grace. And my grace will be sufficient for you. You see, many times we go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I would serve you if. I would serve you if this. I'd serve you if that. So if you'd give me that, I can serve you better. And God says, no. What you need is an abundance of my grace on your life, and that's what will allow you to serve me. That's what he did to Paul. That's what he would do to us. So, we need to ask diligence, and that diligence means not failing the grace of God. So when God gives us that grace, we use it to serve him. Does that sound easy? It really is. You know, it's easy if we let God's grace work through us. From a human perspective in our minds, we're looking at this and we're going, that doesn't sound easy at all. But on the other hand, if we let God's grace work through us, look at what Paul did after he prayed. He still started churches. He got put in prison. He still led people to the Lord while he was in prison. He still did everything God wanted him to, even though he had some terrible hardships. And if you'd ask Paul, was it hard? He'd go, no, not at all. In fact, at the end of his life, he says, I run my race, I finished my course, it was set before me. And he did it what? With joy. You see, it wasn't hard with Paul because he let God's grace work in his life. And it won't be hard for us if we let God's grace work in our life. We don't try to do it on our own. We try to do it through God's grace. Because you try to do it on your own, it's going to be hard. Guaranteed. Let God's grace work it. But also following right past, that requires strength, requires diligence, but also requires us overcoming sin. Verse 15 says, if we fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. We can get bitter sometimes. Bitter at others. Bitter at God. God, why did you punish me for this? Because I love you, he'd say. Now get on with your life. But this root of bitterness, even in Ephesians 4:31, to the Ephesians, Paul wrote, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, if we're not careful, bitterness can ruin our lives. I've seen a lot of people being ruined by bitterness. Things didn't go their way. That's what causes bitterness. Things don't go your way. And because of that pride of it didn't go my way, and because of that, I'm going to be upset. I'm going to be bitter. And there are a lot of people that are bitter and really don't know it. But you see, when you're bitter, you're failing the grace of God. And it spring up and it grab hold on you. And bitterness not healed, bitterness not asked, when you don't ask forgiveness, it just grows and it festers. That's why I said a root of bitterness springing up within you. And not only does it affect you, it affects others. You know, several TV shows the past couple months had the same theme. Basically, it was, they had one guy who was really mad at the world. He was bitter at the world. But you know what happened is, as he spouted off, he'd get his family to believe it. He'd get his children to believe it. And so when you talk to the children, they were just as bitter as the father, but they never experienced what the father did. You see, bitterness can spread. And bitterness is like literally like a cancer that can kill you if you're not careful. So if you feel bitterness, you need to get back to the grace of God. Ask forgiveness. Bitterness is a sin. It's not just an emotion. Bitterness is a sin. Another sin it talks about in verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator. That's just any sexual sin. Any sexual sin. Now I'm not going to go through that too much because we're running out of time and you all know what it is. Let me define it. Let me define God's word. I'm a kind of guy that likes the bottom line. I like to condense everything to the most simplistic thing that you can. So when it comes to sexuality, God's plan, although for the hardness of heart they changed a while, but God's plan is this. One man, one woman, married to each other, everything else is a sin. That's simple enough, isn't it? Alright? Anything outside of that is fornication. And God says, you gotta get it out of your life. How do you get it out of your life? Well, you've got to repent, realize that God doesn't like it, and you've got to ask His forgiveness, and He will. And you move on. Okay? He may chastise you along the way. Take the chastisement, still repent, ask forgiveness, move on. And so then also the sin here, he says, lest any fornicator or profane person. Profane person just is basically anybody that does anything that dishonors God. You know, look at all the Ten Commandments, the first five. The first five out of ten, they all have to do with God. If you violate, you know, don't use the Lord's name in vain, honor the Lord, even honor your mother and father. That's all on the God side. And anytime you do anything against those, you're profaning God. God says, get out of your life. Okay? Because God wants us to experience His grace. If you've never experienced His grace, you're missing out on something. I know for everybody who's accepted Christ as their Savior, you experience His grace at salvation. But I'm talking the grace that comes after salvation. You're missing out on something. And so we have to understand, we need to remember the things that God's done in our lives. The times that we had that grace. We need to remember that God loves us. How much? We have no idea how much. It is so great it's hard to explain. He doesn't love what you do, but He loves you. He loves you more than any person can. He loves you continuously. And when you feel like you're failing His grace, you need to remember that He loves you. You need to remember that He wants you to be strong. You know, when Joshua took over from Moses, what was the thing that he said? Be strong and courageous. Stand up. Okay? If you think you failed God, don't walk around with hanging hands and feeling all droopy and mopey. That will get you nowhere. Except feeling worse. The longer you feel droopy and mopey, the longer you're going to be droopy and mopey. Instead, you go to Him, you repent, you ask forgiveness, He gives you forgiveness, and it's over with. It don't matter what other people say. It doesn't matter what the Satan tries to make you believe. It's over with.
Amen.
Get on with serving God. Now, and we need to rely on God's grace. No matter what kind of life you have, what kind of infirmities you have, what kind of physical disabilities, no matter what kind of limitations you may have because of you're too young, you're too old, whatever it is, God wants to use you if you're a believer. And if you're not a believer, you need to become one. Greatest thing you can do in your life is accept Jesus Christ into your life.
Amen.
Because that determines your eternal life after death. And the sooner you do it, the better. Because that gives you longer life to start serving God. So right now we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. You got to ask yourself. You just bow your head and shut your eyes for just a moment. Ask yourself this. First of all, are you a believer? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you haven't, throughout this message, I've mentioned how you need to do that. You believe you're a sinner? The only way through that sin or out of that sin is to have is Jesus Christ dying on the cross. You need to believe that He did it for you. Ask for His forgiveness. He'll give it to you. Your sins are done. You're a child of God. If you're a child of God, how are you walking God's path? Are you discouraged? Get over it. Stand strong. If you sinned and He forgave it, it's done with. Satan will try to guilt you, but don't let him do it. Are you being diligent in following the Lord? Are you being diligent so you don't fail of the grace of God? Are you working on overcoming sin in your life? It might be bitterness. It might be a sexual sin. It might be profane type of sin. You're going against God. Whatever it is, God can forgive you of it. Whatever it is. And now's your opportunity to ask Him. As I go to the Lord in prayer, you can pray right where you're sitting. You know what's on your heart. You know what you need to talk to God about. You know how to respond to what you've heard. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, help us to always remember how much You love us. Help us to always remember the salvation we have through Jesus Christ. And Lord, because we're Your child, sometimes when we do wrong against You, when we fail You, Lord, You'll chastise us. But Lord, it's just because You love us. So help us, Lord, as soon as the chastisement's over, let us not dwell on it, but let us continue serving You. Let us lift up our hands and let us strengthen, Lord, the feeble knees. Help us, Lord, to be holy. Help us, Lord, to live at peace with all. We can only do this, Lord, through Your power and Your strength. We can only do this, Lord, through Your Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Lord, help us. Help us be the children that we need to be. We thank You, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.